Now David talks about his mighty men. And he said, these are the names of the mighty men whom David had. These are loyal individuals. When you have loyal people around you or with you, loyal friends, loyal family members, I'll tell you, life is an incredible delight when you can depend upon people. You don't have to stroke them and try to make them like you. They just are your friends. They like you for who you are. And that was David. David had a lot of flaws, but man, did he have loyal men that were for him.
As we gather, we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 2 Samuel 22 and 23.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we
I pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. And I have devoured them and shattered them so that they do not rise, and they fell under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength for battle. Thou hast subdued under me those who rose up against me. Thou hast also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Now, they would really actually look to foreign pagan gods. And then when they, out of desperation, looked to the Lord, it wasn't for real. You know, they would use all kinds of gods. Remember when they captured the ark? They put it next to the god Dagon. They thought, wow, we can have extra strength here. Now here's the God of Israel next to Dagon. And then Dagon fell twice. First of all, the palms of his hands, then his head fell off, you know, in the presence of God. So God's saying, those enemies aren't going to use me to deliver them. He says, then I pulverized them as the dust of the earth. I crushed and stamped them as the mire of the streets. Notice, totally obliterating the enemy. You know, when I read this, I attach this to my own life. And when I think of the enemy, I think to me personally, the enemy of my flesh. Whenever David talks about his great enemies, and you can talk about the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Philistines, the Canaanites, and you know, those enemies that are out there, those physical enemies, I don't know if we have too many enemies, our next door neighbors, our boss, or I don't attach it to that myself. You know, I'm not, you know, that much amiss with people I know. But my greatest enemy is my flesh, is the old Bill. The old Bill wants to do damage to my spirit, the born-again Bill that wants to serve the Lord. As Paul talks about, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things that I should do, I don't do. What do I find within me? Sin. That principle of sin, the one who wants to do right. You see, that's my great enemy. So I look at this and I say, Lord, pulverize to dust, crush, stamp out in the mire of the streets this old Bill that wants to draw me, you know, into a place of sin or in a place of compromise, who wants my mind to trip out on certain things that it shouldn't. Lord, this flesh life. And so that's how I use that, and I identify that in my own life. But I mean, these were real enemies with David. I don't know, maybe David looked in a sense in that way. We'll see, in one sense he does. You know, he talks about his own flesh. He says, thou hast also delivered me from the contentions of my people. So he even had those in his kingdom, people that were his enemies. Thou hast kept me as head of the nations, a people whom I have not known serve me. Remember he had the Perethites and Cherethites, those were from Gath. They were Gentiles, and yet they were his bodyguard. They joined David to be on David's team, to be some of David's warriors and guard David. They would be his guard. And these are people that came to him because they saw in David this man of God. And so they left their false gods and came to David. Foreigners pretend obedience to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners lose heart and come trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be the rock, my rock, and exalted be God, the rock of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and brings down peoples under me, who also brings me out from my enemies. Thou dost even lift me above those who rise up against me. Thou dost rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to thy name. He is a tower of deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. You see a little bit David talking about himself through this, but it's almost as though he projects himself. He takes himself out of the picture and then talks about the anointed, the Messiah, and he talks about to all, because it says to David and his seed, or descendants, it says his seed, speaking of Messiah. And so he's talking about his anointed and that forever kingdom that Messiah will set up. So what an incredible note. David looking at himself and all God's deliverances and then going all the way out to the future where God will have reign through the Messiah. But I think it's just a great psalm. You could put your name in this, you know, when you're going through a real trial and journal, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. And he goes on in verse chapter 23, says, now these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, declares, the man who was raised on high declares, the anointed of God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, Jesse was a poor farmer. I mean, he wasn't a rich guy. Remember, he was just a farmer, David, watching the flocks there. And then when Samuel came and anointed him king, just as a young teenager, eventually became king, and he's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was composing psalms before he was anointed king. This was something he did as he was watching the flocks. He was very skilled. Skilled musician, skilled composer. He was just an incredible man. And you know, I think in our church, we have those in our church, maybe even with you. You're skilled, I think, in a lot of different areas. And when we look at the Holy Spirit, and we talk about the giftings of the Holy Spirit, some of the giftings are listed, but I think there's things that go outside of that listing that you find that are used for the Lord. It doesn't say that God has given the gift of composition. You know, no, it says the gift of prophecy. Well, that could be composition. The gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of knowledge, a lot of different gifts. But I think there are those that have got gifts like David here that are waiting to be tapped, maybe of composition, of writing songs, of even playing songs. I think what keeps most people from an internal and inherent gifting that God has given them, there's one thing that keeps them from that. And it's not time. It's not too busy. It's not, oh, I've got the kids to watch. Oh, I got a career to follow. It's not anything except what I believe one thing, and that's fear. They fear failure. And they fear if they expose this and bring it up, maybe people won't like it, and so they keep it hidden. that's probably one of the things that you might regret when you take your last breath. Oh, I should have stepped out in faith and tried this. I would never, ever be a pastor if I wasn't recruited. If I didn't actually have the Bible study in my home. I didn't like to be in front of people. And that was one of the greatest trials for me. I used to hide the person in front of me in class in high school so the teacher wouldn't call on me, because I just couldn't handle speaking in front of the class. I'd get sweaty, my voice would change. I just couldn't do it. It was horrible. In fact, when I went to college, it was required to take a speech class, and I was going, oh no. And so in that speech class, you had to get up in front of, you know, the class and give a speech. And I regretted that. I was hoping nuclear war would break out before I could get up there. And no, I'm only kidding about that. But I mean, that's how much fear I had. And I knew I had to do it the following week because my name, you know, you're the following week. And then the guy the week before me, he got up there. I've never seen anybody so nervous. Have you ever seen somebody so nervous that you're embarrassed for them? You're going, let the guy come down and sit down. He's dying up there. And so I looked at him and I went, I'm not going to be that bad. And so I think it helped a little bit. Misery loves company, you know. And so I thought, well, but it was probably pretty bad when I got up there. But, you know, one of the things you find that if you step out in faith, God will meet you. And maybe not the first time, the second time, or the 50th time, or the 100th time, or even the 1,000th time. But if you keep doing what God has given you and instructed you to do, you're going to find that God is going to use that, and He's going to bless that. And I think there's a lot of hidden talent here at Komamai that may remain hidden because people are a little chicken to step out in faith. And they just don't want to fail. But, you know, I find that sometimes a person's strength is their weakness. You see people that are so polished, they can grab a crowd. That's their weakness. Their very weakness. That's what the enemy will use to deceive and betray and to do a lot of horrible things. But sometimes people don't understand that their weakness is their strength. Because that weakness, and they know they're weak in that area, when they kind of climb to a place where they can be used of that, they still realize they know where they came from. And so they don't get puffed up with pride. That weakness is that strength. And you see, when you get up there and you try to do that, people have such great compassion and such great appreciation for you getting up and stepping out and doing that. It gives them courage to get up and step out and do whatever it might be. We don't realize that. We're so turned around in that area. And you see, I can say that from experience because I know what it's like to not do maybe what God's called you to do. I used to, and I tell you, it was years. I would give a message in the home fellowship, and I would smile afterwards. Everybody's fellowshipping together, and it was in our home, and I just smile. Hey, hi. I'd go into my room, and I'd just put my hands over my head, and I'd say, "I am sorry, God, forgive me. I felt it was so bad. You don't know what I went through." Just the exposure of that, but. It's like I had to go through that to do what I'm doing now. I don't get all freaked out now because all I want to do is deliver the goods. I want to deliver what God's given me, that which I've received from the Lord, I declare unto you. It's not about me, it's about Him. And I think lots of times we have fear because we think it's all about us. We're looking too much at us. But if we just allow God to maybe develop that thing and use that thing, and get us over us, and, you know, just realize it's all about Him, you find that great things will happen, I think, in the church and also in the lives of God's people. Well, here is David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me. Now notice this. David recognizes the Spirit of God speaking through him. And his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men righteously, who rules in the fear of God, is as the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, when the tender grass springs out of the earth, through sunshine after rain. Truly, is not my house so with God? For he has made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things and secured for all my salvation and all my desire. Will he not indeed make it grow, but the worthless? Well, first of all, he says, hey, God's in charge. And when God's in charge and my house, this church, my life is his, he's going to make it grow. No question. No question. That's what God does. It's only when we're double-minded, when we you know, black and white, here and there, in and out, and in this kind of wavering, that's when there's problems. But notice, no question. God's going to do a work. He's going to make it grow. But, verse 6, the worthless, every one of them will be thrust away like thorns because they cannot be taken in hand. But the man who touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they will be completely burned with fire in their place. So he's basically talking about the worthless. It's like thorns. Have you ever tried to handle thorns? I had to cut some bougainvillea down. They were going in our yard, and so I'm up there on the ladder. I'm trying to grab that thing. I don't have gloves, and cut it, and I get scrapes all over the place, you know, and that's, it reminds me of what he's saying here. You know, you just, the worthless are like that. They poke, they stick. They're not worth anything, and God will deal with them. Now David talks about his mighty men, and he said, these are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Now, these are those that came to David. We know he had 600 mighty men that joined him when he was on the run from Saul. And we have a lot of names of those here that you'd never expect to be put here, but they are. And these are loyal individuals. And I'll tell you, when you have loyal people around you or with you, loyal friends, loyal family members, I'll tell you, life is an incredible delight when you can depend upon people. You don't have to try to stroke them and try to make them like you. They just are your friends. They like you for who you are. And that was David. David had a lot of flaws. He's Marty mentioned some of them, but man, did he have loyal men that were for him. And he talks about, verse 8, this Adino fellow, and it says that 800 were slain by him at one time. Now, 1 Chronicles 11 says 300, so there's somehow in the, you know, in the scribe putting it down there, 300 or 800, there was a lot, it says. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there to battle, and the men of Israel had withdrawn. So now he talks about three special individual guys. So Dodo rose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to strip the slain. Now, have you ever, when we were cutting the hollyhocka here, when we first got in this property, we had power tools, but also we had hand tools, slashing away with some of the knives and stuff and slashing away. And I'll tell you, my hand, I couldn't even open it. You know, it was so tight. You know, I had to kind of pry my fingers open. And that's what it is here. He's saying his hand clung to his sword. It's like his hand became part of his sword. And he just really wailed on these Philistines. Verse 11, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered in a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. In other words, these were marauding bands. They were there to take the crops, to take the lentils. But he took his stand in the midst of the plot defended it and struck the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. And then 3 of the 30 chief men went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave of Adullam. Now, here's where he was hiding out from Saul. While the troop of the Philistines was camped in the valley of Rephaim, and David was then in the stronghold while the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. So times where David was hiding out in Adullam, in Zin, in different places, hiding out in caves, you have the Philistines, you have Saul, you have others that were telling on David where he was. And the Ziphites, remember, they told, hey, David's over here. And Saul went to that area and tried to trap David. But this is a situation where the Philistines, they're in Bethlehem, David hiding out in the cave. And David had a craving and said, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Now, I think he was just kind of reminiscing as a boy, a boy watching the flocks of his dad's. He was probably reminiscing out loud, because in the different areas, the water, you know, the water tasted, you know, different in different areas. These underground artesian wells that would spring up in different areas. In Caesarea Philippi, you found the underground spring that fed the Jordan River. In different places in Dan and different places. But he saying in Bethlehem, there was one in Jericho, and Elisha, remember when he threw the salt in it, it made it pure. But here he could taste the difference. And here it was something from his youth. He just remembered, and he's musing out loud. But his men hear that. David's not giving a command. He's just reminiscing. And so the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things the three men did.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 2 Samuel 22 and 23. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, Pastor Bill will begin a new series in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.